This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Well, you couldn't ask any more life. He gave it all he had. The tank was empty by the time he got to the end of the route. That'll bring up a third and 16 from the 43. 9 minutes to go till halftime. 14 Hilltoppers coming to town to take on the Staunton Bulldogs. Both teams coming into tonight's action with an 0-1 record. My name is Gary Boker. Dan Newkirk alongside. Could be a very interesting game tonight.
I think so. When you look at big implications, playoffs, 5 wins, this is a big one for both teams, and I'm sure that's one that the coaching staffs on both sides have really emphasized the importance of getting a win tonight and getting on track.
Well, last year, Staunton came away with a 20-14 win against Staunton, the first time they had beaten the Hilltoppers in the last 5 years. Looking back, all the way back to 2014, it was 21-18 Hillsboro. In 15, it was 49-6 Hillsboro. In 16, it was 50-0 Hillsboro. In 17, it was 35-20, so quite an accomplishment for the Bulldogs last year to end that streak and get a win.
It really was. They had that great senior class last year with 18 seniors, and Gary, you and I got to see the Bulldogs quite a few times last year, and a lot of speed, and it was just too much for Hillsboro to handle. But it's going to be interesting to see how Staunton now has moved on past that great senior class into the 2019 season.
And last year, Hillsboro suffering through a disappointing 3-6 record. Staunton finished 5-5. In week one, both teams lost, but they really were not identical ways to lose. As Hillsboro, Coach Duff will tell you, they should have had, could have had, would have had that game in hand right up to the final few minutes. One big play, one big score. They dropped one to Southwestern, 18-14. Whereas over here at Staunton, it was not one, but two storms that came in. The first was an electric storm Friday night that postponed the game. The second one was a perfect storm, as you would say. Everything that could go right for Pena went right in the first quarter. Everything that could go wrong for Staunton went wrong in the first quarter. When the first quarter clock went down to zero, it was 41-0 Pena, and that was all she wrote.
Yeah, 41-0 is quite a hole that is just almost unprecedented. You just don't see very often. And like you said, though, when everything goes right for one and wrong for the other, you get to that point. And you know this is a big quarter for the Staunton Bulldogs. Coach Ferguson's got them fired up to get back on track and get a much better start than they had a week ago.
Well, they're going to get the ball first, and that's going to be an improvement because last week Pena got the ball first and ran the opening kickoff back for a touchdown. So tonight the Bulldogs will put their offense out there and see what they can do with the first possession. As the Toppers decked out in their white tops, orange pants, black helmets, orange numerals, and, of course, Staunton in their traditional now, red over red with the white numerals and the red bonnets. And we're about ready to get this one underway.
This new look for Hillsboro is really quite a change over the past.
Yes.
Really, with the orange pants and the orange numbers and the white jersey is just a much different look than we're used to seeing out of the Hilltoppers.
Magnus Wells is going to do the kicking for the Toppers. It's a low line drive kick, and it looks like it's headed out of bounds inside the 20. So now the Bulldogs will have their choice. They can take it out inside the 20, which they won't. They can take it at the 35, which they can, or they can make it kick it over again. We shall see. It looks like they're going to be satisfied to take it at their own 35.
It's really an option that not many teams, unless you have that. I'm going to go deep in the history here. If you got a Babatunde Ridley back returning kickoffs, then, of course, you're going to have people re-kick. Other than that.
Plus, I always like the idea of making that kicking team run two sprints in a row down the field.
Absolutely.
Anyway, the Bulldogs will come out with Zach Urey at quarterback. He'll have Devin Ray as the running back behind him, sending out a couple wide receivers to each side. Well, it looks like Kyle Favor is going to be a tight end. They're going to move the ball up to where it should be.
I was going to ask. I thought maybe they changed the rules. They had the ball spot at the 25, and I was a little confused myself, but we moved up to the 35 where we're supposed to be.
Chalk one up for the officials as we're now ready to go. Kyle McCullough, the wide receiver over here to the near side, along with Kyle Favor. He's in a split slot. Now he'll go in motion, and he'll take the handoff, head around right in, try to turn the corner, and he's going to be brought down after a very short gain. Got back to the line of scrimmage and not much more than that. Coming up on the tackle for the Toppers, Dylan McCamick, one of the first ones in there.
Yeah, a little jet motion I was curious when I got the starting lineups this morning that there was only one running back for Staunton, and interested to see what they do with all these receivers listing four, and already we saw it with that jet motion with the handoff to the receiver.
Now they're going to go to the air. Oh, he doesn't find anybody. Urie's going to run for his life. Now he'll go out to the right side. He'll fire the pass forward to about the 40-yard line and pick up five on what looked like it was going to be a box play. So give him credit. Urie, with his patience, was able to find a receiver and pick up five. Mullenix on the catch, going to bring up a third and five.
And you're right, for a new quarterback this year, I'm not sure what Urie's experience was at the JV level last year, but he showed a lot of patience there, waiting for favor to clear and throw him the ball.
And they get the toppers to jump off sides. Now the question is, where the ball's setting, will that be enough for a first down? I think it will be, because the ball is situated out over the 40-yard line. 5-yard penalty will take it out to the 46, and that'll be enough for a first and 10 Bulldogs. So the toppers make the first mistake as far as penalty-wise, and the Bulldogs get their first down. They'll have trips over here on the left side. Single split receiver, got man-on-man coverage over there on the right side. And it's going to be a quarterback draw as he's going to go off right tackle. Urie doing a good job there of dancing to the outside, getting across the 50 down to about the 48-yard line. We'll give him a gain of 6 and make it 2nd and 4. Showed some nimble feet there, didn't he?
Yeah, he really did. He didn't bail out on the play. It was designed. He ran to that single receiver side. They pulled a lineman out to get out in front of him. Really nice play by the Bulldogs.
So it's going to bring up a 2nd and less than 5, about 4. Whoa, going to be a wrap up and bring down. Drew Willman saw that one coming up the chute. He said, I'll meet you before you get to the line of scrimmage. And Devin Ray is going to be brought down for a loss back on the 50-yard line. We'll call it 3rd and about 5.
Devin Ray was a kid last year that I had pegged as one of the best backup running backs in the league, with Mr. Mullenix being their starter last year and, you know, getting his first carry of the game. They were obviously anticipating him getting the ball.
He was being mirrored right up the middle. Now pressure over the middle. The pass is caught by Colin Mullenix. He's going to be close to a first down, going to be driven back to the 45, but I think they're going to mark it about the 44, and that is good enough for a Bulldog first down. So right now you'd have to say, Dan, the Bulldogs ahead of the game as far as from a week ago.
Absolutely. Like I said, emphasis on a fast start tonight has got to be critical after that first quarter they had last week.
Two wide receivers left, two wide receivers right. There's a split end way out there, and then there's a split slot out there, not actually like twins, but in the slot. He'll go to that slot back, and oh, the catch. What an outstanding grab that time by Kyle Favor, as he was hit just as soon as he caught the ball. I thought it was going to jar loose, but it did not. He brings it down at the 40 for a gain of 4, 2nd and 6.
Really was. Joey Leip was the quarterback on the play for the toppers, and he was right there as the ball got there. But really, great job by Favor bringing it in.
Leip put a licking on him, but he kept on ticking, I guess you'd say, huh?
Mm.
Good move there. Going to bring up a 2nd and 6. We're about 4 minutes into the first quarter. We're scoreless. Going to be a handoff to Ray. Ray turns the corner, and I believe there was a face mask there. The guy right behind the play didn't see it, but I believe the umpire coming up from behind saw the face mask. Indeed he did, and they'll march the ball closer to the topper goal line.
Jackson Hamby, the linebacker for the toppers, really making a great play, getting outside to shut Ray down, but he just got his hands a little bit high and caught a finger on the face mask.
So the flag is being thrown at the just inside the 40 at about the 39. They'll take it down to about the 24. Let's see how close we go. They'll mark it at the 24. From the Hillsboro 24, it'll be a 1st and 10 for the Bulldogs. They have moved from their own 35 down to the Hillsboro 24. Now they'll send those trips out to the right, wide side. That's the right side. Sam Best, the furthest one out there of the three. One wide receiver on this side. And then they'll give it to Ray up the middle. Ray finds an opening, and he has a good run there, finally brought down by Magnus Wells, but not until he gets down inside the 20 to about the 19-yard line, give him a gain of about six. We'll call it second and four.
Really a great little shuffle step as he went through the line of scrimmage. Darius Brown, a sophomore left guard, really had a great block. Ray just kind of shuffled left right in behind him and sprung that play for the six-yard gain.
Little dancing in the backfield,
really
found
was.
The opening, and did a good job of getting through there quickly. Send a man in motion. They'll fake it off to him, and they give it to Ray. And Ray has really got those knees churning. He'll get down near the 15-yard line. Going to be a gain of about four. It's going to be third and very short for the Bulldogs of Staunton. And guess what? The Bulldogs are the first to get down inside the 20-yard line.
That puts them in the Seavers Equipment Red Zone, powered by Seavers and Case IH. Score now with Case IH at Seavers. Check it out online at SeaversEquipment.com.
And now the Bulldogs, using a hard snap count, are going to draw the toppers off again, I do believe. They'll mark down five more yards. We shall see. It indeed will be an encroachment call on the defense. Takes the ball down almost to the 10-yard line. And that'll be a first and 10. Stretching the chains out, they can get a first down without getting a touchdown. They don't want to do that. But, Ray took the ball, and I'm not sure that Erie really wanted him to. There was a bit of a tug between the two. He's brought down at the line of scrimmage, so from the 10, it's going to be a second and 10.
They're running that mesh point with a double option where Erie has the option of keeping the ball and running it. But I think Devin Ray
took the option away.
He took the option away. Yeah, he clamped down hard.
They come back to the huddle. He's got to tell him, hey, that's my option, whether he give it to you or not.
And I think Urie's right, because the right end just crashed hard, and I think Urie would have had a little room to run.
Maybe they'll come right back to it. We shall see. Two wide left, two wide right. No, we'll run that little swing pass. Oh, the defender goes down, and into the end zone goes Colin Mullenix. Colin Mullenix with a 10-yard touchdown catch and run. What a move there is. He got that defender, what do they call it, breaking his ankles? That's exactly what happened there, as he takes it in for our first touchdown of the game.
Colin Mullenix carrying on the family business of scoring touchdowns in Staunton. Really looked really, really good. Not like a sophomore that he is on that play.
So that one went from Urie to Mullenix. And the point after attempt coming up. Attempt the kick, and it'll be Holly Bukeski to attempt the point after. Get set. Snap. His back. The ball is down. The kick is up. It's high. It's long. And it's good. The Keskis point after makes it 7-0 in favor of the Bulldogs. We'll be back with the Staunton kickoff after these messages on WSMI. The first drive of the game, the Staunton Bulldogs take the ball on their own 35-yard line. 12 plays later, they complete a 65-yard touchdown drive. It was Zach Urie to Colin Mullenix for the 10-yard touchdown pass. Holly Bukeski with the point after makes it 7-0, and this scoring drive summary is brought to you by Hines Furniture and Flooring in Carlinville since 1854.
So in 1854, what kind of flooring were they putting in a house? I would be curious to know that, Gary.
Durable.
Durable. There you go.
And it's a durable company to still be in business.
Absolutely. Quite impressive.
60 years later. It is a touchback on the kickoff, and so Hillsboro trailing now to the score of 7-0. They'll get the ball on their own 20 for their first possession of the evening. Well, as we said, Staunton, a much different start to this game than it was last week. They gave up an 80-some-yard touchdown run to begin with to the Paina Panthers. Tonight, they really marched that ball down with authority, and Urie did a good job of mixing things up. Now the Bulldogs go on defense as the Topper is going to go to the air. Wide receiver wide open out there. Down the sideline he's going, and all the way out to the 42. Was that Joey Leip out there?
Joey Leip on the reception. And we had Garrett Dickinson on the tackle coming from all the way from the other side of the field.
Yeah, I don't know what happened over there, but Leip was wide open. Somebody missed their assignment either on the zone rotation or something, but in any event, a good first down play for Hillsboro. Now they'll come back and they'll go to the ground, and Jonah Harkins, he's going to find the going very tough. One, two, three, four Bulldogs on top of him as they unpile at the 40-yard line. Little or no gain whatsoever on that one, as one of the last guys coming up off the pile, Frank Goss, a big 6'3", 220-pound junior, playing the defensive end over there. We'll call it second and 10. Ball still resting on their own 41-yard line. One back in the backfield. We'll go with the jet sweep. Coming back around this way as it's Joey Leip. And Leip showing some good hustle there, turning the corner and getting the ball upfield across midfield down to the Staunton 46-yard line. Another first and 10 for the Toppers.
Really a lot of speed. And they're going to take advantage. A Troy Redfern signature defense from the Bulldogs is a swarming, really all-man, on-the-tackle kind of defense. And some deception has so far has thrown them off a little bit.
That's going to be the quarterback who's going to run the option and keep it himself. He's going to be tripped up at the line of scrimmage. Garrett Dickerson, one of the first to come in there and put the hurt on him, spun him around. They finally take him down for a gain of one. We'll mark it at the 45. Call it second and 9. Four minutes to go, first quarter, 7-0. Staunton with the lead, Hillsboro with the ball in Bulldog territory. Now they'll run the option to the far side. Jonah Harkins gets the pitch. He'll turn the corner, go up the middle, and looks like he's going to get down to about the 41-yard line. We got a flag on the play. Let's see what we've got here.
It's going to be a holding against the Toppers.
So they're going to back it up. That flag came down on about the, what, about the 41-yard line? And they'll check. So it's still going to be second down. They're going to back him up. The man in the white hat says, yeah, take the ball back this way. They do, and it will go back into Topper territory to their own 49. So they've got to get to the 35. Let's call it a second and about 15 now. Second and 15 for Hillsboro. They'll send Dom Bates out here as a wide receiver to the near side. Alongside him is Ben Taylor. Taylor's in the slot. Bates out wide. We're going to stop it again and throw the flags again, and it'll be a procedure call. Yeah, they're walking the wrong way. Back to their own 44 brings up a second and 20.
Well, you get down to second and 20 with a run-dominant offense like Hillsboro usually puts on the field. That really shrinks your playbook down quite a bit, Gary.
Well, it's one thing that right now you know Coach Duff is a little upset with. Here we had the ball and we were moving from our 20, got it all the way into Staunton territory. Now they're backing it up and they're going to go to the air. Looking over the middle, there's going to be an incomplete pass. Little contact there late, but they're going to say that the contact was after the ball went on by. So Caleb Partridge, good defense there, going to bring up a third and 20.
And that's a good call, too. And high school football really doesn't look towards that, but that was really not a catchable pass. He can let that one fly a little bit high, and I'm just not sure if Don Bates was going to get up there to get that ball.
Probably going to head to the air once again. They'll run that little flare pass out here, getting the ball off to... Was that Ben Taylor over there?
Ben Taylor on the reception.
He's going to get the ball out to about the 46-yard line. Should be punt time. Fourth and 16. Topper's not showing punt just yet. Tekin, of course, is the punter. All he's got to do is back up a few steps, which he does. He'll send the man in motion. Tekin's going to get a low spinning kick. It'll come down on about the 30. Continues to roll. Now it's going to be fumbled. And it looks like the Toppers are going to come up with it, as it was loose and loose and loose again. And finally, I believe that that was Dom Bates who came up with the recovery. And as a result, it's going to be a first and 10. Do it again for the Toppers. They get the first big break of the game, I'd say.
Absolutely. It was sophomore Sam Best for the Bulldogs that tried to take that ball off a couple of hops and get as much yards as he could with it, and got bounced around his arms, and he got looking around, and next thing you know, it's on the ground.
We call that a squirrely yit ball.
There you go.
It was just kind of squirrely the way it was moving around out there. Toppers catch a break. They'll go back to that old traditional power triple eye and give the ball off to Jonah Harkins. Harkins is going to lead the scrum inside the 25 down to about the 20. Let's give him the 22. We'll give him a gain of 3, call it 2nd and 7. That's what we have come to see as the traditional, conventional Topper offense in years past. But I think they're going to move out of it this time. Bates will go over to the far side. He'll be wide, really wide left. Nope, we're back in that stacked eye with a tight end over here on the right side. Oh, a nice hole opens up and then closes quickly. That was Sam Best, the guy who had the fumble, who came up very quickly, made a good low hit, driving the runner back for little or no gain.
But you're right. Brady Huber and Cooper Holcomb initially had created a nice little hole. Had not Sam Best really seen that and filled quickly, then there could have been some trouble. Now, what might be interesting, that free safety came up awful hard. Little play-action pass might work well down the middle.
We'll put it in the repertoire, huh? Back to the triple stack again. And now we got a timeout on the field. As the Toppers take a timeout, we'll take a timeout too. 1:44 to go, first quarter. Staunton 7, Hillsboro nothing. Back after these messages on WSMI. Central Conference action. Of course, everybody is in action tonight. What's the South Central Conference looking like this evening?
Running top to bottom, it looks like Gillespie is at Litchfield. Greenville travels to Southwestern. Here we have the Hilltoppers playing Staunton. Pena traveling all the way down to Roxana. And perhaps the game of the week in the South Central Conference, the Vandalia Vandals travel to Carlinville to take on the Cabbies.
And, of course, that was our live broadcast tonight. We're bringing you game two. And the Toppers are going to go up the middle. Going to be Ben Taylor on the carry? No, it wasn't. That was Jude Bertolino.
Jude Bertolino.
I hadn't seen him earlier tonight. He picks up about 4 yards. That's going to bring up a 4-2 as the ball's resting on the 17.
Takes us inside the Seavers Equipment Red Zone, powered by Seavers and Kubota. Score now with Kubota at Seavers. Check it out online at SeaversEquipment.com.
Ooh, triple I stack. They go to the quarterback, and it's going to be close. They're bringing the linesman in to make the mark. Is he going to give that ball on the yard line or not? No. The Staunton defense holds at the 15-yard line, and they will take over on downs. I thought when the quarterback headed off that left guard that it was going to be very tight, and it was, and he's brought down just shy of the 15-yard line. So the Bulldogs defense answers the question and has a big stand, and they'll get the ball back on their own 15, first and 10. It's funny, now that they spot the ball, they have to turn the ball around, so it's inside the 15 with the tip exactly where it was before, just narrowly missing the first down. Off they'll go to Devin Ray, and Devin Ray is going to get tripped up as he goes across the line of scrimmage, but with his momentum, he's still able to get the ball out to about the 19-yard line for a gain of about 4. Let's call it 2nd and 7 or 6, and you talk about a determined runner.
Really was. Colin Guswell and Joe Goss on the left side really opening that hole.
Now we'll go back to the single screen out here. The receiver is McCullough. The blocker was Favor. McCullough makes a dancing step, takes the ball inside the 40, down to the 30. He's finally brought down. Trying to steal the ball was Joey Life, but I think they're going to say that he held on to it long enough, and it is going to be Bulldog ball all the way down at the Hillsboro 30-yard line.
They've left McCullough alone on that one side. They put the trips and stuff on the other side. It's only been a matter of time before they zip it out there to McCullough, and sure enough, 55 yards later, he's got a great game.
Yeah, Favor with a good open field block there to spring him free down the sideline. And then McCullough knew what to do with the ball as he danced down the sideline, juked away from one would-be tackler. And now in the final 20 seconds, a bobbled snap. But Hurry is able to collect it. He's going to have a loss on the play, maybe of one, as he almost got back to the line of scrimmage. We'll call it the 31. It'll bring up a second and still a long 10 as we run out of time here in the first quarter. And after one quarter play here at Staunton High School, it is Staunton 7, Hillsboro nothing. Back with the second quarter after these messages on WSMI. The high school football on a Friday night. It is the Staunton Bulldogs with the ball and a 7-0 lead as we open up play here in the second quarter. Hand off to Devin Ray, who scoots around the left side, finds an opening, gets outside. He's finally run out of bounds over there on the far side, but a nice gain for Devin Ray as he'll take the ball down to about the 24-yard line. Give him a gain of 7. Let's call it 2nd and 3. 2nd and 3 from the 24. For the Bulldogs, who lead in this one 7-0. They'll go around the near side, and a run, continuing to run, is Zach Urey. There were three different toppers who looked like they had a good shot, but he just kept eluding them all the way down inside the 15, down to about the 12. So we'll give him a gain of 12. It'll be a first down, 10 yards to go for the Staunton Bulldogs. They're in the red zone, knock, knock, knocking on the door again.
That's the Seavers Equipment Red Zone, powered by Seavers and Exmark. Score now with Exmark at Seavers. Check it out online at SeaversEquipment.com.
Play clock down to 4, 3, 2. Get the ball snapped with 1 second to go. Give the ball off to Devin Ray. Let him turn the corner. Oh, nice block out there on the edge. Outstanding block by Kyle McCullough. Allowed Ray to cut back to the inside and into the end zone for the touchdown. This one goes to Devin Ray. Touchdown number 2 for the Bulldogs tonight. And they now lead 13-0, just barely a minute in to the second quarter.
Great block. And Ray showed a lot of patience. He kind of waited a minute, let the block set up, and then cut back inside, and he had nothing but end zone in front of him.
As you said, a good block there by McCullough. Got him open. Now the snap's back. The ball's up, and it's good. Bukeski's point after is good, and the scoreboard reads Staunton 14, Hillsboro nothing. Back with the Bulldog kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Set up the Staunton offense with an outstanding defensive stand on their own 17-yard line. They took over on their own 15-yard line, marched 85 yards. It took them but 6 plays, a 6-play, 85-yard touchdown drive. Devin Ray doing the honors with a 12-yard touchdown run. Holly Bukeski with her second point after. 14-0 is the Bulldog lead, and this scoring drive summary is brought to you by Hines Furniture and Flooring in Carlinville since 1854. Well, I tell you what, there's a little bit more of a kick in the step here for the Bulldogs than what we saw last week. These guys, they're showing that even though we may have taken it on the chin in week number one, it's a long season, and they've made some good corrections. Now the kickoff is going to be down by Ben Taylor, as it was a squib kick and difficult to return. Hillsboro does, however, recover from their own 27-yard line. They'll take over trailing 14-0. Last week, the Toppers scored 2 touchdowns. They had a 14-12 lead going into the waning moments of the fourth quarter. Piasaw Birds put together one last drive with one big pass and come away with an 18-14 victory. And now the Toppers still looking for a touchdown that they haven't had in quite a while. They'll go up the chute and hand the ball off. This time it'll go to Jonah Harkins. And Harkins is going to take the ball out over the 40-yard line, out to about the 44. Outstanding run there of 17 yards. 1st and 10, Toppers.
Opening up big holes, they had Ian Malloy and Brett Cunningham on the left side of the line for the Toppers.
11-8 broke, don't fix it. They're going to give the ball back to Harkins again. This time, however, he's going to be shut down. Frank Goss, one of the first coming in there, and he got some help with Noah Partridge as they'll bring the ball carry down on about the 46th. Be generous to give him two, call it 2nd and 8. Some big boys up front there for the Bulldogs, that's for sure. Goss comes in at 220 over there. Harbison at 315. Going back to pass is Teakin. Can't find a receiver, so he's going to skirt around the left side, and he'll go out of bounds. Oh, late hit. Flag's going to be thrown. I have headphones on, so my excuse was the headphones, but I didn't hear that whistle very strong, and I don't think some of the Bulldogs did either, as he continued running and the Bulldogs continue playing. So he was out of bounds at about the 47-yard line, and they're going to call dead ball, personal foul, against the Bulldogs. And I'm not saying it wasn't the correct call. I'm just saying I understand why the defender didn't let up. The offensive guy didn't let up.
I'd say Jace Teakin cut back inside and was heading up the field. He obviously didn't hear the whistle either. So, yeah, they need to pronounce that whistle a little bit more.
Yeah.
Luckily, nobody heard on the play.
Yes, that's
because it was a pop.
Thing. Yes.
Teakin really got popped on that play.
Well, and my feeling is, though, if the offensive guy keeps moving, it's your job to stop him.
Absolutely.
They'll take it forward to the 36, and it'll be a 1st and 10 for the Toppers as they trail 14-0. Whoa, handoff. Now the ball's loose as coming in there with an outstanding hit was Devin Ray, and then coming up with the save was Teakin as he was able to capture the ball back at about the 37-yard line. Be a loss on the play of one. Call it 2nd and 16. As it went from the 36 back to the 43, excuse me. So 2nd and we'll call it 16. Still in Staunton territory. Toppers looking to the air. The question is, do you want to back them up 10 or make it 4th down? If that's the call. Nope, they're going to call ineligible downfield.
Well,
right over to the coach to get the call on that. Which do you want? He said, we'll take it 4th down.
And where football's really changed, Gary, is these offensive linemen no longer stay there at the line of scrimmage for the entire time. They are coached that once that ball leaves, get down the field and make a block.
Yeah.
And I think it was an aggressive mistake that we saw from the Hilltopper lineman. He was
your offensive line coach will say you hold 1,001, 1,002, 1,003 and go. And if your quarterback doesn't get rid of the ball, then you're the one who gets caught. Brings up a 4th down. Teakin is going to put a toe into it at the 50-yard line. It's going to come down on about the 20. It's going to continue to roll. It's going to be an outstanding punt there. It's going to be blown dead down around, what will that be, about the 6-yard line?
It's right at the 6-yard line where the Bulldogs are going to take over.
Well, Staunton took over on their first drive at the 35. Came up with a touchdown. Second drive, they started at their own 15. Came up with a touchdown. Can they do it a third time? 8:41 to go till halftime. Bulldogs are ahead 14-0. We've got a long ways to go, but enough time to get there. Topper's defense having trouble getting set up and getting the right guys in the right places. Fortunately, the Bulldogs went right up the middle, and the defenders were there. Far the Toppers. Was that Brett Cunningham in on stop there?
Brett Cunningham the stop. Devin Ray on the run.
Give him a gain out to about the 10-yard line. So we'll give him a gain of 4. Call a 2nd and about 6. Right now, of course, the Bulldogs interested more than anything else just getting some distance between them and that goal line and working out of this deep hole. They'll go up the middle. Oh, some tough running by Ray. He was dead to rights and just kept driving those knees. Finally spun off the tackle. Gets the ball out over the 14, almost to the 15. We'll mark it from the 14. We'll call it third now and about three.
Jonah Harkins with that ankle tackle there, it really saved some because Devin Ray was just about to bounce that wide and get some running space. So nice tackle by Jonah Harkins to save that long run.
Ray was emulating a Bronco there with the way he was romping and stomping around and looking for some daylight. Clock running, 7:30 to go till halftime, 14-0, Staunton with the ball and the lead. Now we're going to have a timeout on the field as Staunton will take a timeout. Once again, our scoreboard reads 7:24 to go till halftime. Staunton Bulldogs 14, Hillsboro Hilltoppers 0. Back after these messages on WSMI. 14-0, Staunton with the lead, Staunton with the ball. They're going to give the ball up the middle to Devin Ray, and he's going to get out near the 20-yard line. And Devin Ray, with that pickup of six when they needed three, gives the Bulldogs a first and 10. Very impressed with his running.
Yeah, runs really hard and equally as impressed with the offensive line.
I was just going to say, you mentioned a couple times that offensive line is really opening up some holes for him and doing an outstanding job. Darius Brown, one of the guards over there. Frank Goss is a tackle. Robert Buffington, tackle as well. He's over on the other side, the left side. They ran right that time. They'll put a man in motion. They'll fake the handoff. They'll go down the seam. Wide open receiver, Kyle Favor. Favor's off to the races. Couple guys have a shot. He puts on the afterburners. They won't catch him today. An 80-yard touchdown pass to Kyle Favor. It doesn't get much better than that. Kyle Favor that time ran the deep post pattern as he turned to the inside. The ball was placed perfectly.
Really was. Just a skinny. He ran that deep skinny post right over. And it was, it's a, we call it, you're over the linebacker, you're under the safety, but the safety bit. The safety bit and came forward, so wound up being over the safety as well. And he was just off to the races. Really great, great pass by Zach Urie to clear him out.
And so the point after attempt, well, we're one player short, so we're going to have to wait here and see if we can get our next player out. But that was just and the coaching staff will tell you, just the way we draw it up. Even though after he made the catch, Favor had to outrun a couple of defenders. Oh, low snap. Holder, an outstanding job of getting that one up. Who was the holder on that play? Did you happen to see?
It's sophomore Sam Best. So
Best on the hold, an outstanding job of getting that ball down.
Our punt returner, who had trouble hanging on to the ball earlier on the fumble, did a great job of getting a handle and getting it down for the kick.
He's the man who saves the day, and just like that, it's 21-0 Staunton. Back with the Bulldog kickoff after these messages on WSMI. An outstanding run, an outstanding drive altogether. When you stop and think about it, they opened up that drive all the way back on their own 6-yard line and drove 94 yards. So they have had drives of 65, 85, and 94 for three touchdowns for the Bulldogs. That's putting points on the board the right way.
Really is. I think it's fair to say that they have wiped that first quarter from last week in the paint a game out of their minds, and they've come out, put their foot in the gas pedal, and they've shown no signs of slowing down.
Well, I mentioned the fact as the pass goes out here in the flat and the flag flies as the reception is made out there by Dom Bates. And Bates is going to be brought down. Nope, there's going to be a holding call, so I think they'll back that one up even further. Well, as I mentioned, last week, Pena put 41 points on the board in the first quarter. After that, they were held to 3 points. After that, the Bulldogs had the touchdown. So after that fiasco of a first quarter, they actually played, the Bulldogs, that is, three good quarters. And you'd have to say they've got 1.5 excellent quarters here in game number two.
Yeah, really have. So, you know, not seeing the game, you were at the game last week with it being on Saturday, and I can't imagine this team and this defense dropping 41 points.
What a difference a day makes. Well, what a difference a week makes,
right.
Well, you know, the coaching staff was saying, we have some things to work on. And you could tell these guys did some work this week to correct some mistakes. And as a result, the penalty is going to bring the ball back to the 28-yard line, where it'll be first and 22. They'll try to go outside. slipping around the corner and getting out to about the 35-yard line, as that was Ben Taylor on the carry. Give him a gain out to, what are they going to call that, 36? Give him a gain of 7. That'll bring up a second and about 14. Second and 14 as we have 5.5 minutes to go till halftime. Staunton with a 21-0 lead. Handoff goes to Joey Leip. He's going to try to swing around the right side. He's going to be met over there by Sam Best. And Best wrestles him down for little or no gain on the play. Sam Best, are you ready for these numbers? Listed at 5'6 and 135. He's a sophomore. He's not playing like a sophomore.
No,
out there,
he is not. No, he's not. And I was really played that well. You know, he was the first guy there, so he kept the outside leverage. And then the outside linebacker, Henrik Beloriak, am I pronouncing that correctly, Gary?
Yes, sounds good.
Filling out and making and helping with the tackle, so good team defense.
Yeah, jet sweep the other way doesn't go for much there, as that was your Beloriak who came up with a stop on that play at the 40-yard line. So a gain of only 2 is going to bring up a 4th and 10 for the Toppers. They're just having trouble getting their offense going. They had that one good first drive where they started on their own 20, got all the way down to the Staunton 17. That one stalled. The next drive, they could not get anything generated. And this drive, it looks like, is going to stop. And it'll be the Toppers going back on defense. Oh, the snap goes over the punter's head. He's going to have to go back. Want to try to pick it up and see if he can get a run out of it and a kick. Tietken, somehow or another, got that ball off. I think it went under a defender's arm. I'm not sure.
It may have. It looked like a lot of the three woods I've hit in my lifetime that just never really got much off the ground. But yet he got it over across midfield to about the 49-yard line. So really, you know, saved the Hilltopper defense about 25 yards there.
Yes, indeed. It looked very bad because when he was racing back to get it, I thought at first that maybe he was just going to cover it up. But he decided, hey, let's see if I can get hold of it and run away from the defense. He did, just barely. So from their own 49, Staunton with a 21-0 lead, they're going to take over on offense, but not until we have a timeout. Clock says 4:01 to go till halftime. 21-0, Staunton over Hillsboro. Back after these messages on WSMI.
Bulldog team that we've been fairly impressed with this tonight, Gary. Last year, dominated by seniors. This year, really not very many. You know, there's a lot of kids coming back on this, a lot of sophomores and juniors on the field right now that they're looking at a year or two of momentum here.
And did it take them that first week to get adjusted to varsity play? Because I'll tell you what, the Paynham Panthers, they have some slobber knockers out there. And when you're a youngster and that's one of the first hits you take at varsity play, it's hard to bounce back from. But give these Bulldogs credit, they have done exactly that. On the carry now, it'll be Ray taking the ball across midfield down to the Hillsboro 48. So let's give him a gain of about 3. We'll call it 3rd and 7. Clock running, 3:33 showing on that second quarter clock, 21-0. The home team, the red-clad Bulldogs, defeating the Hillsboro Hilltoppers at this juncture. Everybody looking at their wristwatch. No, looking for a play on their wrist. 3rd and 7. One back in the backfield. That's Devin Ray. They'll fake to him. Good pressure by the Toppers. They still get the screen pass out to Ray, and he's going to get awfully close to the first down. Give Uri credit on that one. There was good pressure and an outstanding play call. That little outside screen is a good call against that kind of pressure, but the key is your quarterback has to stay composed.
Well, and he's got to sell it. Uri did a great job of rolling the opposite way and then going back to the guy he made the play fake to. That's a tough play for a quarterback to get his eyes readjusted like that.
Needed 7, picked up 8, 1st and 10 Bulldogs. They're at the Hillsboro 40-yard line. They'll wind that clock up after they move the chains. We're down to the 3-minute mark of the second quarter. It'll be the jet sweep on a handoff to Kyle Favor. Oh, Favor's going to get turned around and brought down. Curtis Zekers, the 5'9", 150-pound senior, comes through and is able to pull him down, twist him down for a loss on the play back to about the 42. We'll give him a loss of 2, call it 2nd and 12, Zekers. Nice play there. Now the Bulldogs all look over to the sideline to get the play call. Two wide receivers way out there on the left side. Man going in motion. They'll fake to him. Look to the slant pattern. Wasn't there. Urie's going to have to take it himself, turn the corner, and go out of bounds as he got as much out of it as he could, getting down to about the 40-yard line. That's about all he could get out of that one. It's going to bring up a third and 10 for the Bulldogs. Of course, you might say right now they're in four-down territory.
Oh, absolutely. Up 21 to nothing with the clock running down on their on the topper side of the field. I think we're definitely looking at least two more offensive plays here.
McCullough and Favor will be the two wideouts on the far side. Mullenix is over here with Best on the near side. That's the short side of the field. As the Bulldogs are heading south here in the second quarter, their sideline is right down here in front of us on the west side of the field. Notice how I'm not directionally challenged. Oh, Ray takes the fake, and keeping the ball is Urie. Urie is still dodging, going down the field, and he hits all the way down inside the 20-yard line to the 18-yard line. A gain of 12 for Zach Urie. Outstanding running from the quarterback, and another first and 10 Bulldogs in the red zone.
That takes us into the Seavers Equipment Red Zone, powered by Seavers JCB. Score now with JCB at Seavers JCB. Check it out online at SeaversEquipment.com.
This time he'll give the ball off to Ray. Oh, Ray reads the block, turned inside, picked up the opening, gets the ball down inside the 15. Good sealing by the toppers, but not until a gain of about five as they're going to mark that one down. Looks like it's going to be, what, on a inside the 15 there? We'll call it second and about five or six. Clock running with 100 seconds to go till halftime. Urie looks over the situation, checks over here to the near sideline, checks to see what the play call was. Two wide left, two wide right. Ray in the backfield behind Urie, who's in shotgun. He's looking to give the ball to Ray. Instead, he'll keep it, and that is a decision he'd like to change as he's brought down in the backfield, and that will be Brett Cunningham, the big 6'3", 210-pound senior, who wrapped him up, tossed him to the ground, and that's going to bring up a third and 10, the ball back on the 25-yard line. Leading 21 to nothing with 1:17 to go till halftime, the Bulldogs will take a timeout. We'll take a timeout, too. You're listening to WSMI. We have a good one going on here at the Staunton tonight. At least the Staunton Bulldog fans will say that. The Hillsboro Hilltoppers looking to see if they can come up with a defensive stand here in the last minute and 17 as it's third and 10 from the Hillsboro 25. Ray's going to get the call. Ray's going to go up the middle. The topper's going to do a good job of swarming all over him. Coming up on the tackle over there, Jonah Harkins, one of them in. He wasn't by himself. Magnus Wells was there as well. And I believe there were a couple of other guys there.
I think Brett Cunningham was in there assisting on that as well.
I was going to say there were at least three or four. That's going to bring up a fourth down situation.
Looking at
and looks like we're going to try a field goal. They'll spot the ball down at the 27.
And the 37
yard. So that'll be a 37-yard field goal attempt. Now, I did see in pregame they made some from just about this distance. We shall see what they do now. J.J. Brandt is going to do the honors. Sam Best will be holding. Left-footed kicker. Got a timeout on the field. I think they weren't sure if they had the right personnel all there. Wanting to make sure. I think Staunton is going to take a timeout.
Coach Ferguson does not look happy.
Well, not many times do you call for your field goal team to take the field. And it's I know it's an aspect of the game that is worked on every Thursday night, at least most teams. But there
was something. Put them on the sideline, you yell field goal, they run on the field.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Well, you got 11 guys out there now. Of course, now this gives Coach Duff an opportunity to set that defense and see if they can get somebody in there. As we said, it is going to be J.J. Brandt, the 6'4", 185-pound senior, as they will kick it from the left hash mark. Snap is back. The ball is down. The kick is blocked. And now the topper is going to try to pick it up and see if they can do something with it. And they're going to be brought down on about the 35-yard line as that kick never got high enough. Even the sharp people on the field could get a hold of that one.
Yeah, that
was
no
height at all.
That wasn't going to have a chance.
So the blocked field goal keeps it at 21-0. And the toppers trailing 21-0 will have 17.9 seconds to go to see if they can get a score on the board. From their own 35-yard line, first and 10. What do you think? Wheel pattern over on the far side?
Well, this is the time if they've got something.
Double wheel.
Let's do double wheel.
Double wheel.
Double hitch.
Nope, they're going to fly. Everybody's flying. Everybody's flying. Ball's up and no good. Good coverage on the play there as the Bulldogs had Caleb Partridge down there as well as the safety. Was that Sam Best coming over?
Sam Best in
He's been everywhere tonight, hasn't he?
He really has. That little sophomore's been all over the place. Kyle Favor was in on the play. But great pass by Teakin. Really threw a great ball. There was that half second before it got there. I thought Joey Leip was going to come down with that ball until Staunton just made a better play. But great pass by Jace Teakin.
If Leip was 6'4", he could have gone up and got that
absolutely.
A little bit taller. But.
Absolutely.
Good pass, good defense. Try it again. Let's go middle screen. Here we go. Up the chute they will go as making the reception is Jonah Harkins. They'll call timeout as they get across midfield down to the Staunton 47-yard line. They'll move the chains. I said they'll call timeout, and they do. Hillsboro with a timeout, they're going to have one more play at least, and I say at least because if there's a defensive penalty on the final play of the half, they could get another one. But Staunton now, they're going to have to play like a prevent type game. You can let them get the first down, but you can't let them get behind you, and that's what's being instructed to those safeties right now. Nothing behind you, nothing behind you. And, of course, you'd like for the big boys up front to give a little pressure. Personally, I like that middle screen.
I do, too. That really worked well. And if I remember correctly, Hillsboro's going to get the ball to start the second half. Yes?
Yes. Staunton got the ball with the first possession.
So, boy, if we can do something here and the toppers can get in the end zone, they get the ball back to start the second half. And if they can get in the end zone there, you know, this game takes a whole nother turn.
Changed the complexion of the game immensely. Yes, indeed. Well, the Bulldogs get their defense out there, and they'll get set. I see number 18, that's Enrique Valoriak. Coach says you get out there and make sure you get plenty deep now, give them some cushion. Best is back there. There are three defenders who are at least 15 yards off the ball. As trips over on the right side, Tietkin's going to run, and he's going to run to the sideline and go out of bounds. No penalty flags, so that will be the end of the first half. And after two quarters of play here at Staunton High School in week number 2, it is the Staunton Bulldogs 21, the Hillsboro Hilltoppers 0. Back with third quarter action after these messages on WSMI. Halftime festivities are completed here at Staunton High School. 12 minutes up on the clock. We're ready to start third quarter action. Staunton with a 21-0 lead over the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. The Toppers will receive the kickoff to start the second half. And, Dan, you know they've had to make some adjustments in that locker room.
Well, we hope so. And to be honest, though, a lot of the adjustments that need to be made is just playing more disciplined football. You know, they had a little bit of momentum going at times, but every time they did, a penalty killed it.
It's a low bouncing kick. Taken and right up the middle. Is that Leip going down
there? Joey Leip.
Joey Leip is off to the races. He's finally going to be brought down there.
J.J. Brandt, who kicked off.
Brandt was the one who came down and made the tackle, but not until he got all the way down to the 25-yard line of Staunton. So, yeah, I think there was a message that was received as the blockers up front for the toppers, they created a gap there, and Leip was obliged by going straight through it and straight up the field.
Really great, just straight up the field, literally. Didn't waver much, just some really, really great blocks, and Joey Leip just about took it to the house.
Well, you talk about running north and south, and on this field you can actually do that, but however, the handoff is met by a host of Bulldogs, Caleb Partridge, one of the first guys there. And he's going to get maybe back to the line of the scrimmage at the 25, and that's going to be about it. Second and 10. Wow, good defensive surge there. Well, the Bulldog defense, they stopped Hillsboro on the 17 back in the first quarter. See if they can do it here as we'll run the option. Oh, the pitch was a little bit earlier than what he wanted to, but he had to. And the pitch man, fortunately, was able to come up with it. That was Jonah Harkins. But as Harkins turned the corner, there to come pick him up very quickly was a host of Bulldogs, one of which was number 12, Kyle Favor, on the stop.
Caleb Partridge out there also helping out, but there were several Bulldogs on that play. Once the ball gets on the ground against a fast-swarming defense like Staunton, it's going to be very, very difficult to get back to the line of scrimmage.
Backs them up to the 30-yard line. It'll be third and 15, just underway here in the third quarter. Tekin's going to go back. He's got time. The pocket is holding good for him. Now he'll roll out to the right. He's got some room to run. He thinks he's going to be able to get outside. Ooh. However, there's Noah Partridge who brings him down. Was that a horse collar?
Oh, absolutely, a horse collar tackle. That's the one you hate to see. You know, that rule's been put in place for good reasons. That knees don't get hurt and ankles, and that's one of the better ones I've seen in a while.
It was good pursuit. It was good that he got there and got to the tackle, but then, as you said, the execution, a mistake, it occurred at the 35-yard line. So they'll walk off 15 yards and take it down to the 20, and it'll be an automatic first down.
Hello, Pearl Flack.
First and 10, Toppers. Whoop. No, it wasn't an automatic first down.
Well, I've been very impressed with this crew all night, Gary, and I like this very much. You know, a little unsure about the box and everything. The white hat stopped everything, got everybody together. Let's get this thing right. This is not a crew that I don't recognize, but obviously very seasoned and experienced.
Well, they're getting it straight now as they've got the chain still setting at the 25 and the 15, which makes it right now it's third and 5. The only thing I don't like about this, I don't like those players having to stand around and wait. When you're out there and you're warm and you're loose. Okay, it was not a first down. It will be third and 5 from the 20. He'll hand the ball off. Is that Light once again? And he
Joey
runs
Light,
to the right. Now
daylight.
All the way back to the left. He's going to be tripped up. And was he in? Yes, he was. Joey Light. In for the score. Outstanding run there as he headed out to the right to begin with, and then he circled back, cut back to the left, and then just simply outran the defense to the left side and was able to cross the goal line before his knee went down.
Joey Light putting together quite a second half here so far with the great kickoff return. Now the 20-yard touchdown run. Coach Jeff's breathing a sigh of relief over on that far sideline.
That was most impressive. Most impressive touchdown run for Joey Light. Now the Toppers trailing 21-6. They'll go for two. Tekin's going to run the option. He'll keep it himself. And he's in to the end zone for the two-point conversion. So Tekin scores two on a PAT. And that makes it 21-8. Staunton with the lead. Hillsboro with the momentum. Back with the Topper kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Joey Light takes it all the way down to the Staunton 25. Then four plays later, a four-play 25-yard drive is culminated with Joey Light running it in from 20 yards out for the Toppers' first touchdown of the game. Makes it 21-8 after Tekin ran for two. This scoring drive summary is brought to you by Hines Furniture and Flooring in Carlinville since 1854. Don't look now, Dan, but we got ourselves a ball game.
The Toppers have really stormed back into this one. As I said before, there was some momentum, almost whispers in the first half. But then every time it happened, we had a penalty. We had a penalty against Toppers. They were able to sustain a drive there. They were able to play somewhat penalty-free football. What did it result in? Touchdown for the Toppers.
Your feet are your foundation. You've got to keep your feet under control. When you shoot yourself in the foot, you don't have a good foundation. That was the Topper's worst enemy. Now catching the ball, a line drive kick at the 26-yard line. It is caught there by the Bulldogs' Garrett Dickerson, and he has a knee on the ground. So Staunton will start this possession from their own 26. 10:02 to go here in the third quarter. 21-8, Staunton with the lead and the ball, but momentum, I think, we can say has swung over to the far side of the field with the Hillsboro Toppers.
It has. We'll see if this Staunton defense or Staunton offense can take over where they left off.
They have had some good drives generated already this evening. Three touchdown drives on the evening. They will give the ball off to Devin Ray. And Devin it was a fake. Devin Ray was being tackled over on left tackle, and I had followed it, and lo and behold, he didn't have the ball. He said, what are you tackling me for? Instead, it was Zach Urey who had run a very good fake and gets the ball all the way down into Topper territory to the 46-yard line. So that'd be, what, 28 yards? And a first and 10 Bulldogs.
Great mesh point. What a great ball fake.
There was a great tackle on Ray over on the far
side. There really was. Well, and luckily, again, good officiating crew, we didn't get the play whistle dead.
Yes.
Because Urey really pulled it off.
So you're saying the officials have better eyes than this announcer, thank goodness. Now the swing pass coming out here for that single screen. It's going to go to Sam Best. Best is going to get the ball inside the 45 down to about the 43-yard line, give him a gain of three. That's going to bring up a second and seven. From the Hillsboro, 47.
Zach Urey slowly starting to put together a nice passing game with 171 yards passing right now.
I like these little single screens that he comes out here. He's got two receivers. One catches it. The other sets up a block. Now we'll go fake jet sweep. And this time, Urey is not going to fake the defense out, nor did he fake out this announcer, thank you very much. On the tackle was Jonah Harkins for a loss on the play as they're going to spot it down at about the, 41. I guess they're going to give him a yard or two. In any event, it's going to bring up a third and about six.
I'm not sure that was not supposed to go to the jet sweep guy, but the snap came in a little bit high to Urey. He fumbled it just a little bit, and I think he made a decision not to, you know, go from a fumble to a real fumble. Just held on to it and maintained possession.
Bad handoff is bad results. I got to keep
almost
it myself.
Always.
That was a good decision, as you said, for the junior quarterback, Zach Urey. Now he's going to go back to pass. Oh, over the middle, he finds the receiver. And that receiver is number 18, Enrique Beloriak. Beloriak makes the catch. I believe he's going to be a little bit short of the first down, however. They'll spot the ball at the 37. Picked up five, needed six, going to be fourth and one.
It was Andrew Law on the tackle, safety for the Hilltoppers.
So now a big fourth and one. Big for both teams. Staunton wanting to answer that score of the Toppers. The Toppers wanting to maintain and get that ball back. It's going to be a handoff to Ray. He'll cross over the 35 down to the 34. Tough yards, but he got three of them when he needed one. First and 10 Bulldogs as they're inside the 35. They're marching from the north end to the south end here in the third quarter, leading 21-8, 7:20 to go here in the third quarter. Caleb Parker is going to come in a lineman position. Beloriak, wide receivers. They'll have trips over on the left side. They're all out wide. Ray behind his quarterback who's in shotgun formation. He'll drop back, has three to look for. He's going to go for his deep man. Coming back to the ball. Outstanding defense there by Joey Life as he simply stayed with the receiver, stayed with the receiver. Last second, he looked over his inside shoulder. There was the ball. Got a hand on it, and it went incomplete. And I hope it's just a muscle cramp down there on the
It looks like. It looks like a calf cramp.
Is that McCullough?
I believe so. I do not
say that's Kyle McCullough.
Well, no, I see McCullough. Or no, I see Favors. Excuse me. I think you're right. I think it is. Yeah, they're doing the old toe stretch, so good. Very good.
It's amazing, though, but as a coach and an announcer, you love seeing that. When you find out that's all it is, it's just a cramp.
Right.
And to the guy who's experiencing it, it's not just a cramp.
No, absolutely not. You know, on that last pass play, there was a little bit of a moan out of the Staunton crowd because there was some hand fighting going on by both McCullough and Leip on that play. Both kids doing a great job. But it was mutual.
Neither was gaining an advantage. And that's, you've mentioned before about this officiating crew, and I think that's another good example there. Play on.
Great no call. Letting them play. No doubt about it. There was a great pass thrown by Uri in there, but Leip doing a good job of getting that wrong arm technique in there and knocking the ball away.
While we have a stoppage in play, let's look ahead. What do we got going in the South Central next week?
Week three in the South Central Conference has Gillespie traveling to Pena, Greenville at Carlinville, a pick game of the week, Southwestern coming to the Litchfield Panthers, Roxana at Hillsboro, and the Staunton Bulldogs will be traveling over to face Vandalia. You know, these first 3 weeks, there's some big matchups, Gary, that's really going to set the haves and the have-nots in the South Central.
Well, one thing I said about what I feel this year is different about the South Central, the haves and the have-nots in the middle of the conference, it's a little bit murky.
It's closed up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's closed up a little bit. Absolutely right.
So the Bulldogs following the timeout, we like to report he's back on the sideline getting some water. Take a little bit of mustard. That always helps to get rid of the cramps, they say. In any event, the Bulldogs, with 6:51 to go here in the third quarter, they'll have the ball. Second and 10 from the Hillsboro, or the Bulldogs are having from the Hillsboro 34. And Uri is going to duck inside and then scoot outside. He'll make a nice run down to about the 27, 28-yard line. Going to be a gain there of about 7. Going to bring up a third. Let's call it third and 4.
Zach Uri, being a multi-faceted quarterback, 63 yards rushing, 176 yards passing, putting together a nice game for the Bulldogs.
So here comes third and 4 in 4 down territory. Oh, Uri looking for a free 5. He was trying to draw the toppers off. They wouldn't bite on it, so they'll reset and get the offense ready to go here. The snap is back. The handoff to Ray. Ray kind of dodges through the middle. Then he puts that head down. He fires forward inside the 20. He's going to be brought down, but not until he gets all the way down to about the 16-yard line, a 12-yard gain for Devin Ray and a first and 10 Bulldogs in the red zone.
Andrew Law coming up making another tackle, but that's a Seavers equipment red zone play, powered by Seavers and Case IH. Score now with Case IH at Seavers. Check it out online at SeaversEquipment.com.
Well, we see over here on the sideline, Kyle McCullough still trying to stretch out that cap. Two wide receivers each way. Oh, the ball was bobbled, but Ray was somehow able to pull it out of midair and complete that handoff and get the ball inside the 15-yard line to about the 13-yard line. So we're going to give him a gain of a good 3. Call it second and 6, second and 7. Take your pick. But the Bulldogs, they're marching down the field, a drive that started back on their own 25 has taken them all the way down to the Hillsboro 13. Second, looks like about 5 yards line, or 5 yards to go.
With McCullough over here on the sideline, another sophomore, Evan Treckler, in the game at receiver for the Bulldogs.
Oh, low snap. And I think the Bulldogs were able to recover as that one was a line drive off the shin bone. And fortunately, either Ray or Uri was able to recover. They'll do so at the 15-yard line, so going to be a loss on the play of a couple, going to bring up a third and about 7. Four, five, four on a third quarter clock. 21-8. Staunton with the lead. Staunton with the ball. They're on the move. Uri. Oh, one to go draw. He will go draw. He hesitates. He gets around one defender. He cuts off to the right. He heads down inside the 10, down to the 5. Driven out of bounds, but not until he gets to the 5-yard line. Needed 7. Picked up 10. First and goal for the Staunton Bulldogs.
I have to tell you, Gary, I'm very impressed not only with the routes run and the receptions by these receivers from Staunton, but some really, really nice blocking going on outside, too. Not easy to block on the outside in space, and they're doing a great job of opening up holes for both Ray and...
What's that drill where we put that ladder down and they have to go in and out and quick feet?
Yeah.
And you can tell Urie's been doing that because he utilizes those quick feet. Now he'll give the ball off to Ray. Ray's headed to the goal line, and he's going to come up a little bit short, as coming up on the tackle was Dylan McCamick. But not until Ray and the Bulldogs get all the way down to, I'm going to call it the one-yard line.
Yeah, I think they're just out, maybe just outside the one, maybe.
So it'll be second and goal from the one. Well, the Bulldogs had a big stop in the first half. Toppers need one here, but I don't think they're going to get it, and they will not, as Devin Ray muscles his way into the end zone. Devin Ray with his second touchdown run of the day, this one coming from 1 yard out at the 4:02 mark of quarter number three. The Staunton Bulldogs answer that touchdown that the Toppers came up with to start the third quarter, and now Holly Bukeski, kicker, drum major extraordinaire, will attempt the extra point. A low snap, and this time Best has to pull it up, and he'll keep it himself. Now he'll throw the pass, incomplete. So the point after attempt pass is no good, but the scoreboard reads Staunton 27, Hillsboro 8, back with the Bulldog kickoff after these messages on WSMI. We really enjoy every time we come over here. That's an understatement.
Yeah, absolutely. I was talking at lunch today. This is my favorite press box to broadcast out of, and it's a comfortable view, great level.
Get to see my
friend Austin Sherpy down at the other side of the press box,
there,
so it's always good.
6 minutes, the Staunton Bulldogs marched on 13 plays. They went 74 yards. Devin Ray with a one-yard touchdown run. The attempted pass for the point after was no good, but Devin Ray, one-yard touchdown run, culminates a 13-play, 74-yard drive for the Staunton Bulldogs. This scoring drive summary is brought to you by Hines Furniture and Flooring in Carlinville since 1854. So now the Toppers, who got a score to get momentum back on their side, have given it up. Just under 4 minutes to go here in the third quarter. They'll get the ball back first and 10, and they will start on their own 20, what are we going to call it, 24? Does that look about right? We'll call it the 24. First and 10, they'll go up the middle. As on the run that time, it was Jonah Harkins. Harkins on the run, and he's going to get the ball out to about 27, 28. Let's give it to him at the 28. We'll give it a gain of 4. Call it second and 6 for the Toppers. They trail 27-8 with 3:30 to go here in the third quarter. Tekin going to throw out on the wing. Got his receiver out there, and that was Harkins who makes the catch. Cuts back to the inside. Gets awfully close to the first down as he's out to the 35, but they're going to say, was he far enough? Yes, he needed 6, and they're going to say he picked up 7. First and 10 for the Toppers from their own 35. They'll set the chains and wind the clock. We head to the 3-minute mark. Tekin's going to keep the ball himself, call his own number. He'll go up the chute. He's going to be brought down there by Garrett Dickerson, the 6-foot, 160-pound junior, but not until he gets out to about the 40-yard line. Gain of 5, second and 5.
We really do have two good athlete quarterbacks here tonight, don't we, Gary? Both throw a nice ball. Both run the ball well.
Yeah,
they run the mesh well.
That's what makes them so impressive and so difficult to handle. They can run and they can pass. And for the most part, they make good decisions on the options.
Both first-year varsity quarterbacks.
This a little pass out in the flat is completed. It'll go up to about the 43 for a gain of 3. Going to bring up a third and about 2. Was that Taylor on the catch there?
So, 13.
Sure. Nope.
Is it Andrew Law?
I believe it was.
I want to say Andrew Law on that reception.
All right.
Nice job, Drew.
This is a big third down play here. The Toppers. Whoa. Hello. everybody knew the snap count except
the center.
The center. He was one count off, and everybody was across the line of scrimmage. Now we're going to have a meeting. Guys, there can't be a whole lot of discussion on this. Yeah, procedure. Back him up five. Takes the ball back to the 38. Going to bring up a third now and seven. And I was about to say this third down play is a big play because at third and short, you don't want to have to go for it on fourth down this early in the third quarter, trailing 27-8. Now the penalty has been addressed. They'll start the clock as we head to the two-minute mark of quarter number three.
I like that middle draw that we saw.
Yes.
In the first half. This would be an ideal place for that, I think.
Yeah, that's what they're going to call. And instead, it's going to be Teakin taking off and heading off the tackle on the right side. And he'll get out over the 45. So he's going to pick up seven. No, he's going to pick up 8 yards. And that's enough for a first and 10 for the Toppers. And you called it. Let that quarterback do his thing. I was a little worried there because it looked like the Bulldogs had things jammed up in the middle. They shot that middle backer, but Teakin was able to avoid him and get off on the right side. Now he'll swing the pass out, and this pass is completed. And that'll be number 13, Andrew Law, getting quite a few calls here in the second half. Andrew Law makes a nice catch, gets the ball out to the 47-yard line. Gain of a couple, second and still about eight to go.
Drew Law, son of Danny Law, good Litchfield product. Outstanding wrestler for the Toppers wrestling team as well.
You remember him well, huh?
Well, Drew's making quite a name for himself also. He's a scrappy little wrestler.
Indeed, he is finding his way around the football field quite well, thank you very much. Teakin's going to go to the air again. He's got on the fly.
Got him.
Passes. Oh, a little bit overthrown. Ooh. Oh, coming up with a hand on the play was number 18, and that is Enrique Valoriak. Are they going to call him for interference on that one?
I believe so. Jude Bertolino was in the receiver en route, and his hands were straight up in the air. I can't imagine they're going to call him. And it is. It's against the Bulldogs.
The only thing I know is he must have had that right hand hanging on to something because his left hand went up between the hands and knocked the ball free.
We don't have a great angle at what happened there, but it looked...
Well, if we were in the NFL, we'd be reviewing that call.
That's right. That is right. Thanks
in any event, it goes against
the Rams
the Bulldogs,
and the Saints.
And it'll be a first and 10 for the Toppers as that'll move the ball down inside the 40 to the Staunton 38. First and 10 Toppers. They trail 27-8. Up the middle, they'll go once again to Jonah Harkins. And Harkins is a hard runner, that is for sure. He's going to be brought down there. Devin Ray comes up quickly. He got some help there by Noah Partridge as well. They'll bring him down on about, well, clean the ball off, put it on about the 34, give him a gain of four, call it second and 6.
Jonah Harkins was one of the guys in that triple I last year for the Toppers, so coming back with a lot of experience.
He knows how to get the job done. Oh, he's outrun his defender. Off to the races. Will he get to the end zone? No. They're going to call him down, as that was Jude Bertolino. He got behind the defender, made the reception on about the 5-yard line. He was brought down just short of the goal line, but it's going to be first and goal, Toppers.
Went right back to that play that they had the pass interference call on. Same receiver, Jude Bertolino. And Teakin threw another great pass.
Twice in a row, he put it right on the money. Now they'll, whoop. He was going to run the ball himself, and there's going to be a flag drawn. I think perhaps the back in the backfield was taking off too soon. So it's going to be first and goal, but it's going to be from the Staunton 6-yard line. That will be the end of the third quarter. So we'll go to the fourth quarter, Staunton 27. Hillsboro 8, don't go away. Exciting action coming your way on WSMI.
6.1.
Down to maybe the 2, perhaps the 1. Let's mark it at the 2 from the Staunton 2. It'll be a 4th and goal. Big time play right here for the Staunton Bulldog defense. If they can shut down Hillsboro a second time inside the 20, that would behoove their defense to say the least. For the Toppers, trailing 27-8, Dan, they need this one.
Yeah, they really do. I'm looking at Jude Bertolino down here at the bottom of the field. I think a pass to him
Well, they'll fake to Willman.
Oh, he's wide
now
open.
Now the pass is, oh, under.
Oh,
did he catch it?
Did he bring it in?
Yes,
he did.
He scooped that one up. Who was that over there on the far side? Was that McCamick?
Number seven.
That was McCamick.
Dylan McCamick, boy.
Outstanding catch. That, as you said, he was wide open. The execution of the pass, not the greatest, but nonetheless, Tekin was saved by McCamick's outstanding pick off the ground for the TD.
When Tekin turned around, the defender had fallen down, and he turned around. It almost looked too good to be true, so I think he had to aim it more than throw it and just short-arm the thing into the ground almost.
All's well that ends well. Now they'll try for two. They'll give the ball off on a short pass to Harkins. He's going to be shot down there, coming up with a tackle. Who was that on? Was that Favor? Coming up with a stop? At the 10:44 mark of quarter number four, the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, however, they're on the board once again. They've scored their second touchdown of the game, but they still find themselves trailing 27-14. Back with the Topper kickoff after these messages on WSMI. 9:58 and counting.
Oh,
and the receiver is wide open. Kyle Favor, somehow or another, the defense got mixed up. And Kyle Favor, all he had to worry about was, please, dear Lord, let me catch this ball because nobody can catch me if I do.
Ben Taylor playing cornerback over here on the right side. Really bit hard on that jet motion coming across. But when the ball pick was made, there was nobody left to cover.
And there you go once again talking about quarterback play. That excellent play fake messed the defense up. Hurry to Favor on a touchdown that goes 35 yards. Now Bukeski to point, attempt the point after. The snap is down, the kick is up, and it's good. Bukeski for the conversion. And that makes it Staunton 34, Hillsboro 14. And, Dan, that was a three-play, 56-yard drive for the Staunton Bulldogs. You talk about being efficient. The big play, of course, 35-yard touchdown connection from Uri to Favor. It comes at the 9:50 mark, and this scoring drive summary is brought to you by Hines Furniture and Flooring in Carlinville since 1854. We'll take a break and be back after these messages on WSMI. That kick, it bounces off one of the toppers, but they're able to recover right at midfield. So trailing 34-14, the topper's going to get good field position as they'll start on the midfield stripe, trailing by 20, 9:49 to go.
That was Brady Huber up front for the Hilltoppers, who did a great job of that thing went off his knee, kind of bounced up, and he brought it in and got on the ground.
This time, Tekin will keep the ball himself, try to skirt around the left end. He'll get a couple of tough yards, taking the ball down to about the Staunton 48-yard line. So we'll give him a gain of two, call it second and eight. Topper's going to need to start moving a little bit more quickly here, Dan, trailing by 20. That's a three-score deficit. They've got to come up with the points quickly. Last week they scored 14 against Southwestern. They'll try that same long pass. Incomplete, intended for Jude Bertolino. He put the hands up kind of looking to see if he could get an interference call, but there was none forthcoming. So the incomplete pass will bring up a third and eight for the Toppers all the way back at the Staunton 48. Good coverage on the defense there.
Yeah, Kyle McCullough was the defender, got his head flipped around. There was a little bit of contact, but he flipped, looked for the ball, got his hands up. Really made a nice play.
Back to the air, they'll go once again. Tekin's going to air it out once again. He overthrew his receiver by about 5 yards as he was trying to lead him down the sideline. The incomplete pass going to bring up a fourth and eight, no doubt about it. Topper's got to go now.
They really do, yeah. We're at a point in the game here with 9:04 to go. Down by three touchdowns, that they got to get back in this thing, and punting is not going to do that.
Well, there's a couple times where they've ran the fly or they've ran the wheel, and they've gotten the receiver behind the secondary, and Tekin has put a couple really nice balls on the mark. That one, however, overthrown by about 5 yards. He'll see if he can correct it. They need the first down. They need the first down as he rolls out to the left. Before he goes out of bounds, he throws it. Coming down to his knees to try to scoop it up off the ground. It's incomplete. A good try there by Ben Taylor, but the Bulldogs defense holds. And on downs, they will take over. And right now, you'd have to say the Staunton Bulldogs are in the driver's seat with 8:53 to go.
I think what we're looking at here now, hopefully Devin Ray got a nice rest, and because they're going to get a healthy load of him, I got a feeling, right up the middle.
Bread and butter?
Yeah, that senior running back's going to take his team home here. I got a feeling and try to eat as much of this time off the clock as he can.
He's a good one to go to. Both linebackers are stepping in there trying to stop him, but he'll get over the 50 down to about the 49-yard line. Coming up off the pile, Drew Wilbon is there. Brett Cunningham also in on the stop. He's coming up quickly. Jace Teakin to add to it. At the 49-yard line, we'll give him a gain of a couple. We'll call it second and 10 for the Bulldogs. More importantly, clock running down to 8:25 to go as they go into Topper territory. Taking their time. Play clock still shows 15 seconds. They'll let it run down. And the clock on the field will show 8:10 to go as they snap the ball. And they'll toss the pass out here in the flat to Kyle Favor. Favor's going to go down the sideline. What a block by Kyle McCullough. And Favor is off to the races. 49 yards later, Favor is in the end zone. Well, just when we thought they might go conservative, they went with that little pass out into the flat. And Kyle Favor, once he caught the ball, he knew what to do. But make no mistake about it, Kyle McCullough set up that with an outstanding block on the corner.
How about this for efficiency? Kyle Favor with 4 receptions, 3 touchdowns, 168 yards. That does nice things for your average right there.
You think he can make the Sports Center highlights tonight? Whew. Once again, Bukowski to attempt the point after. The snap is back. The ball is down. The kick is up, and it's going to be blocked as big Brett Cunningham at 6'3 comes in there, powers in, and blocks that one. However, the Bulldogs of Staunton have put 40 points on the board, and they lead the Hillsboro Hilltoppers 40-14 with 7:59 to go here in the fourth quarter. Staunton, with 2 unanswered touchdowns, have taken a 40-14 lead. We'll be back with the Bulldog kickoff after these messages on WSMI. A touchdown pass to Favor in the second quarter. Another touchdown pass to Favor in the fourth quarter. And about a couple minutes later, another touchdown pass to Kyle Favor. A good night throwing for Zach Urey, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. Really making himself known in this guy's mind anyway, that he is one of the quarterbacks in the South Central Conference to keep your eye on. But let's not undersell that set of receivers that he has, that he's throwing to. They're young, only one senior in that. Kyle McCullough being the only senior. Kyle Favor just a junior. Kyle Mullenix just a sophomore. Sam Best just a sophomore. Some young kids coming back. They had another sophomore receiver in earlier. Zach Urey is just a junior.
And the thing I like about it, not only do they receive well, but they also block in the open field for their teammates.
They sure do, and which is so difficult to coach, and they do a good job. Oh, boy.
Oh, that had trouble written all over it. Mullenix had the best shot at that one, but it sails over his head and out of bounds for an incomplete pass. It'll bring up a 2nd and 10 for the Toppers.
You know, Gary, this is one of those cool fall nights where the dew gets a little heavy. And sometimes late, that ball gets a little slick. And I think that's probably what we looked at with Jace Teakin. Just slipped out of his hand a little bit and kind of glided on him. Lucky he didn't go the other way for 6.
Sometime the bugs start showing up about this time at night. One just decided he wanted meat for supper. We will have a discussion about that later. The wheel route, good coverage by the Bulldogs. Teakin is trying to run out of trouble as the pocket collapses. He will go to the outside over on the left side and finally run out of bounds. A little bit of a late block there, but the officials let him play on as this one's going to go out of bounds. They'll mark it at the 35. So no loss, no gain, 3rd and 10 for the Toppers. from the 35, running out of bounds to stop the clock at 7:45 to go. 40-14. The Staunton Bulldogs have put on an aerial offensive show tonight. Couple that with Devin Ray's devastating runs. How'd you like that one?
Quite poetic.
In any event, it's going to be a much happier Bulldog locker room tonight than it was last week. Middle screen sets up nicely. They get the ball off. I'm not sure who got that one.
Jonah Hartke.
Hartke?
Jonah Harkins. Harkins. Excuse me, Jonah Harkins.
Harkins gets the catch, and he'll get the ball into Staunton territory all the way down to the Staunton 48. It'll be a first and 10 for the Toppers as they'll move the chains and start the clock up down to 7:30 and counting. Tekin looking back to see if he can get somebody open deep. Nobody's there, so he'll have to check off to his short receiver, Dylan McCamick. McCamick's pass was intended for McCamick, but it was incomplete, and that's going to bring up a second and 10 from the Staunton 48. We talk about Staunton scoring 40 points, but I tell you what, their defense has come to play tonight, holding this Topper offense to 14 points on the evening. And, of course, Hillsboro picked up one of their touchdowns in the third quarter, the other one in the fourth quarter, after being shut out in the entire first half. 40-14, 7:17 to go in this one. Tekin will drop back. He's got four receivers running out wide. He'll turn the corner, try to stay in bounds. He does. Now he'll cut back to the middle. He'll find some open field. Finally, Sam Best brings him down. And I'll tell you what, that was an outstanding tackle by Sam Best in the open field. Had he gotten by him, Tekin might have gone off to the races. Instead, he's going to be brought down on about the 28-yard line. Pickup of 20, first and 10, Toppers.
It looked like the Bulldogs were going to push him out of bounds over on the far sideline. But Tekin playing his left foot, got back to the middle.
Little tightrope walking over there.
Was.
He did a good job. Now the handoff will go to Harkins. Harkins will go right up the chute. He'll get inside the 20-yard line. Looks like they're going to mark that down on about the 19-yard line. Second and two.
Some picks inside the Seavers Equipment Red Zone, powered by Seavers and Exmark. Score now with Exmark at Seavers. Check it out online at SeaversEquipment.com.
Harkins needed two, picked up more than that as he's down to about the 12-yard line. So let's give him a gain of seven, give the Toppers a first and 10 from the 12. Clock continuing to run. We're almost halfway through quarter number four. As Tekin going to fake the handoff, he'll keep it himself. A couple of Bulldogs come up to close quickly and bring him down inside the 10-yard line at about the 9. Gain of 3, second and 7. There was good defense by the Bulldogs. Sealed him so he couldn't get out. Sealed him so he didn't have the cutback. And then the third man says you can't even go forward.
Playing discipline football, outside leverage, inside leverage, filling alleys with the safeties.
From
Bulldog
the 9.
Defense looking good.
Harkins going to get the carry. He's going to be brought down by big 79, Nick Harbison. Harbison, 5'10", 315-pound sophomore. And he wrapped him up, and when he's got you wrapped, you know you're wrapped. That's going to bring up a third and 5 for the Toppers, as they'll spot the ball down on about the 7-yard line. And the Toppers will take a timeout. As they take a timeout, we'll take a break, too. You're listening to High School Football on WSMI. From the 7-yard line, Toppers could get a first down without a touchdown. Tekin would like to get him in the end zone. He's going to fake the handoff and then roll out to his left. Now he'll pull the ball down. He'll keep it himself. He'll be driven out of bounds over on the far sideline. I believe that was Mullenix over there on the stop. As they're going to say he's out of bounds at, what, 4? We'll give him a gain of 3. It'll bring up a 4th and 2 from the 4 for the Toppers. Clock continuing.
What's your favorite play, Coach Duffy? Right here. This is the one you love.
Well, he wanted to try to pick up a few yards, and I think maybe he did. Will that be enough to get the first down, or did the offensive line flinch? We'll see what the call is here. Is it an equipment problem?
They sent Jonah Harkins off the field. Must be an equipment. Yeah, and you got to replace him.
Okay, so who do you bring in? Drew Willman? That's who I would bring.
Drew Willman.
Willman is a 5'10", 180-pound junior.
Didn't seem to change their play selection with Harkins leaving.
Well, I would say he's probably not going to get the ball. Oh, they'll run the option. Willman with fresh legs. He's churning, but he's not going to get there, I don't believe. They're going to stop the clock either way because either it's a first down or it's Bulldog ball. And I believe those Staunton Bulldogs have held again inside the 20-yard line. That is twice. The defense has come up big. That has saved 14 points in this ball game. I should say 12. We don't know about the extra points.
No, we don't, but you're right that they get some size up front, Staunton does, but other than that, they're just more of an athletic swarming type defense and really play disciplined football, bent, but did not break once they got down inside the 5 and 10 yard line.
Yeah, in most cases, it's not one guy making the stop.
Oh, no.
In most cases, there's two or three guys there. Now, you're going to give the ball off to Devin Ray and say, get out of here. Devin Ray is going to be difficult for him to get out of the end zone. I think he did barely get out to maybe the two, maybe back to the line of scrimmage at the three. In any event, it's going to bring up a second and still about 10 from their own three-yard line as we go inside 5 minutes to go. The Bulldogs of Staunton trying to get out from their own goal line. I tell you right now, the Toppers could really use a safety and get that ball back in good field position. We shall see.
Okay, Garrett Dickerson is now in the backfield.
And he is going to be tackled in the end zone, and it will be a safety. And as you said, it was Dickerson who could not get out of the end zone, and so it is the Hillsboro Hilltoppers who come up with a score here in the fourth quarter at the 4:16 mark. It is a safety, and they will get 2 points. Well, that's not your normal offensive scoring drive, but it was a defensive drive that did exactly what I said they needed to do. They got them 2 points, and they're going to hopefully give them the ball back in good field position. So I'm going to call it a scoring drive, and this scoring drive summary is brought to you by Hines Furniture and Flooring in Carnivale since 1854. Outstanding defensive effort gives the Toppers 2 points, makes it 40-16. They'll get the ball back following the free kick from the Toppers from their own 20-yard line.
A lot of the Staunton Bulldogs on the field. We didn't have Zach Urie out there quarterback, but we had a backup running back and at least four that I could count, offensive linemen, that were subbed out there. So most of the starters over here on the sideline, we're not risking injury for next week. So the safety's a little.
It's a low line drive kick. Crosses the 50 down to about the 40. It's bobbled there, then brought up in the middle, and now they'll swing it over to the right side. On the run back will be Ben Taylor, and Taylor's going to be brought down there by Tyler Jones. Come up with that stop, it looked like. And so we got a topper down here on the 48-yard line, trailing 40-16. The topper gets up, just a little slight cramp. So from the Staunton 48, Hillsboro looking for a quick score and a couple more. 4:08 to go as they'll start this offense in the Bulldog territory, but they trail by 24, 40-16. And Coach Duff is going to take a timeout. Well, as we said, our schedule next week for the South Central shows Gillespie at Pena, Greenville at Carlinville, Southwestern at Litchfield, Roxana at Hillsboro, and Staunton at Vandalia. Our live game on WSMI next week is scheduled to be Greenville at Carlinville. That should be a dandy.
Should be really a great game when you look at the two teams that are favored this year in the South Central Conference. I don't think you need to look anywhere for the past Greenville and Carlinville. But I think that Vandalia and Pena both might take exception to that. I think we have four real quality games that when those eight games occur during the season, I think we're looking at some really, really strong matchups.
And our second game next week, the one you and I will be covering on tape delay, will be Southwestern at Litchfield. And those two teams may be a little bit more evenly matched than we think. When we first started doing games together, we had a couple real good Donnybrooks of those two teams, didn't we?
We really did. We really did. And they've had a history of close games over, you know, even up to a 20-year history. So hopefully we'll see a real good one next week.
Pass out into the flat is incomplete, as once again Teakin kind of short-armed it. That'll bring up a second and 10 from the Staunton 48. Does stop the clock with the incomplete pass. 4:04 still showing on that clock. So that's what you have in store for next week. Greenville at Carlinville, our live game on WSMI. And, of course, Southwestern at Litchfield will be our delayed game. But first things first, tomorrow morning, going to do a lot of cussing and discussing about tonight's games throughout Mid-Illinois on the 903 show on 106.1. Coming your way in the morning. You going to be there, did you say?
Yes. Going to get out for the Saturday morning broadcast show.
There you go. Not me.
Tim and Dave will be throwing some stats and some stuff around, so tune in.
I will be down in Granite City in the land of the floods. Oh, my goodness, he just stopped with nowhere to go, and he didn't take a knee, and he got sandwiched, and Teakin's going to be slow getting up, and that's going to bring up a fourth down. Got a feel for Jay's there.
He really wanted to roll out to the left, but Frank Goss had the left and right tackle kind of stood up over on that side. Then once he turned back to the left side, it was big Robert Buffington there just to
pick
him down for the sack.
Pick your poison.
Pick your poison. Right. Robert. No. I think I wouldn't pick Robert. Robert's a big boy.
Yes, you got that right. So here we go, looking for a first down to keep the ball. Sam Best on defense. The pass is incomplete. And so with 2:51 to go, Staunton's going to get the ball back on downs, and they will do so near midfield. And, of course, right now what they're wanting to do is keep the clock rolling. They'll spot the ball on the Hillsboro 44. First and 10, 2:51 to go between this and Staunton's first win of the season. Handoff is going to be to Garrett Dickerson. Dickerson goes nowhere. He's brought down back on the 50-yard line. Going to be a loss of about 6. We'll call it second and 16. Clock continuing to run at 2:30 and counting. Bulldogs taking their time, still 20 seconds showing on that play clock, so they can run it down almost to the two-minute mark. Almost said two-minute warning. That doesn't go.
We're not at the right level for that.
They'll snap the ball with 5 seconds to go. Do the toss sweep to Dickerson, and Garrett's having a little bit of trouble there tonight as he's going the wrong way. Caught for the safety. Now he's caught all the way back on about the 27-yard line. Going to be a loss on the play of about 23. So that'll bring up, 49? 10, 20, 30, 35, 34.
It's about third down into Gillespie to go.
If not Gillespie, at least Pinnell. One 25 and counting. He may even take a 5-yard penalty here. They're not even going to call a play off. He's going to let it run completely down. And so it'll be a delay of game, and that will move the ball back. Nope, they're going to call the timeout and not take the penalty. Okay, do what you got to do. As timeout on the field, the score clock reads 1:16 to go in the fourth quarter. The home team, the Staunton Bulldogs, 40 points. The visitors, the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, 16. Back after these messages on WSMI. Here we go as they'll mark the ball ready for play with 1:16 to go. A little jet sweep action going here. On the run. Turning the corner. Getting about half of the yardage back. And that was Beloriak. Out to the 46-yard line.
We had Dylan McCamick and Maddox Scott. A couple of new names on the defense for the Toppers making the tackle.
From their own 46, it'll be fourth down and still about 20 yards to go. Going to let the clock run. 10 seconds left on the play clock. Now down to 5. He'll call the timeout with 25 seconds to go. 25 seconds away from the completion of this game. This is where I would, if I were officiating, say, mercy. Let that clock run out. That's it. Just me.
This one makes me a little nervous. You're going to bring your punt team out with 25 seconds left with a lot of starters out there. This is one that makes me a little nervous if
yes.
I'm a Staunton faithful.
And the long snapper is Garrett Dickerson. He reaches back, grabs a towel to get his hands dry for the long snap back to the punter. He hits a good one. Nice punt by Devin Ray. Oh, man. That goes out of bounds right about at the 20-yard line. And I tell you what, there was going to be no run back on that. Last week I wouldn't dare say this, but this week I will. That one could have brought rain.
Nice punt. Had a nice spiral on it. He turned it over.
And basically did not allow for a run back.
Ball came down right on, if not just out of bounds. It was in the situation we're in with 27 seconds to go. That was perfect.
Yeah, good hang time because we're down to 18.7 seconds.
There were no blocks. There were no tackles. Very little chance of injury. That was well done.
Will the Toppers try to go for broke and get a long touchdown run here? Their pass with three wide receivers off to the right. He'll send them deep. Tekin will throw well over the receiver, and the ball will fall incomplete with 13.5 seconds to go. So they'll get one or maybe two more plays off tonight. Bring the ball back to the 20-yard line where it'll be a second and 10. And the topper is going to see if they can get another long one in. Tony Pierce coming into the defense for the Bulldogs. Trips to the right. Backfield is empty. Tekin's airing it out. He's got a receiver open deep, and it's incomplete. As that time, Ben Taylor was behind the defense, and that should never happen. But it did. But Ben Taylor went to his knees, could not make the catch. And so with 5 seconds to go, we'll do it again, at least one more time. Five seconds on the clock as Tekin waits for one of the subs to get off the field. Now he'll drop back. Not a whole lot of pressures. He's got plenty of time. Plenty of time. Now he's going to run it himself. May as well run it on out of bounds and not take a hit. He'll do just that. And so our final score will read Staunton 40, Hillsboro 16. I have to admit, I'm a little bit surprised by that score. Many people told me, come walking in, they said, I think this will be a one-touchdown game. Well, it wasn't, but you talk about a resilient team, the Staunton Bulldogs, who really had it taken out behind the shed last week. They came back this week and returned the favor, a very dominating game both offensively and defensively. Hillsboro with a lot of things to work with, to work on, for week number three, Dan.
Jace Teakin and Jonah Harkin, that 1-2 punch for the Hilltoppers, I thought had a very good game. Teakin with 72 yards rushing, 107 yards passing. Harkin with 51 yards rushing, but was much overshadowed by the combination of Zachary and Devin Ray for the Bulldogs. Devin Ray finishing with 92 yards rushing. Zachary, 89 rushing with 251 passing. Really put on an offensive show tonight. But to be honest, I think it was the Staunton defense with those two big stops down inside the 10 that really would be my game ball for the Bulldogs.
Well, we talked about coming in how this Bulldog team is a very young team. And last week, as we said, they took it on the chin, but I think they learned a lot of lessons. They gained a lot of experience. Tonight, they gained a lot of confidence.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and you got to shake off a 41-yard or 41-point first quarter. It's just a – I hate to say the word fluke in high school football because, you know, but, you know, they came back, played really well, came back this week, and, you know, got their feet on the ground running. They had a lot of young, new, inexperienced varsity football players. Now they've got 8 quarters of experience now, and they're starting to show that they can play some football. In the next couple of weeks, I think maybe are set up for starting to. Well, they got Vandalia next week, so that's going to be a toughie.
Well,
that's going to be a toughie.
You start out the season with Pena, and then week three you have to go to Vandalia. It doesn't get any easier, but for right now, I think it's important for the Staunton Bulldogs to enjoy and relish this victory.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you know as well as I do, programs that have been struggling, it's difficult to get those wins, and you better enjoy each and every one that you get. And, of course, tonight, a well-earned victory, of course, for the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. Things don't get a whole lot easier next week.
No, they don't. They got Roxy and the Shells coming to town, and then even the week after that, they travel to Greenville. So they've got a couple of weeks here where, you know, they're going to test their mettle a little bit. They're going to have some tough football games to play, one on the road, one at home, and they're going to, you know, again, find out where they have, find out what they're made of, and the coaches are going to. They got a great coaching staff over there in Hillsboro, and they're going to get them to dig down and really search low, and hopefully they can, you know, they can find some good football.
And as Coach Duff would say, we are a work in progress.